Christmas, and welcome to the service today. We're glad that you came to put Christ first in Christmas. You have the really opportunity to do that today. So we're glad that you're here. Pastor Craig is coming. We're going to start by having him read the Christmas story to us.
Going to be reading from the book of Luke. If you want to turn there and follow along, I'm going to skip a little here and there, so Luke 1, starting with verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have been found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God." Skipping over to Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, and they were lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning about what they had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And on the eighth day, when the time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Pray that you have a blessed Christmas this year, and that Christ would be the greatest gift that you have ever received.
Let's dedicate the service to him. Lord, we thank you that we could come today and celebrate your birthday. And Lord, your life and also your death and your burial and resurrection. We rejoice in everything that you accomplished for us. We thank you that you are still Emmanuel. You are still God with us. And I pray, Lord, that you would be with us during this season. For some, it's a difficult time of the year. We pray, Lord, that you would be with them and make your presence known. And Lord, for others, it is a joyous occasion, but may they realize the reason for the joy, Jesus has come. And we ask that you would be blessed in this service today, in Jesus' name, amen. We want to sing quite a few Christmas songs, some that we don't sing a whole lot of, and then also the more traditional ones as well. So if you take your songbooks, first of all, turn to page number 416. 416, the first Noel.
The first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. No. Thank you.
everybody on the third verse again.
The Christian men rejoice, the pirates so rejoice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting call. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save.
Hallelujah. Episcopal Bishop Phillips Brooks was such a remarkable man that when he died, a five-year-old girl said to her mother, "Oh, Mama, how happy the angels must be." Only a radiant, angelic character could merit such a reward. But his life was not always crowned with honor and deserved praise. As a Latin teacher in Boston, he was a miserable and conspicuous failure. It was only after he entered the Christian ministry that he really found himself. And in 1865, while he was the rector of the Holy Trinity Church in Philadelphia, the 30-year-old minister made a trip to the Holy Land. On December 24th, Christmas Eve, he made the trip from Jerusalem to Bethlehem on horseback. He noted in his diary, "Before dark, we rode out of town to the field where they say the shepherds saw the star. It is a fenced piece of ground with a cave in it, in which, strangely enough, they put the shepherds." Later that night, he attended religious Christmas Eve services. The service that he attended lasted for 5 hours, but it made quite an impression on the young man, upon his mind and heart. He returned home with Palestine singing in his soul. As he planned his services for Christmas in the year 1868, the pastor thought again of the Holy Land and the inspiring visit he had enjoyed there just a few months before. Combining preparation with memory, looking forward and backward at the same time, he was moved to express his feelings in a beautiful Christmas carol, written especially with the children of his flock in mind. The new hymn he wanted them to sing that Advent contained these lovely lines: "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in that dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." The following Sunday, when Lewis Redner, church organist as well as Sunday school superintendent, came into the pastor's study, Pastor Brooks handed him a sheet of paper on which he had written the 5 stanzas of the new hymn. "Lewis," he said, "why not write a new tune for my hymn?" The organist looked at the stanzas and replied, "I'll do what I can." Although he had ample time in which to compose the new tune, Redner delayed writing anything down until it was almost too late. "No inspiration," he claimed. The night before the minister planned for the children to sing the new song, Redner had not come up with any music whatsoever. On Christmas Eve, at the very last minute, the inspiration came. He fell asleep worrying about the music and woke up suddenly in the middle of the night with a new tune ringing in his ears. He wrote down the melody as quickly as he could on a piece of paper close by and went back to sleep. Early the next morning, he harmonized the melody and the children sang it for the first time on December 27th, 1868. Let's all sing it today. "O little town of Bethlehem."
Sleep, the silence.
page 405.
The angel said to call his name Jesus. Hallelujah.
That name is higher than any other name. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved. Jesus, his name is higher than any other. Let's worship him as we sing. hand of appreciation and applause. Let's give a praise to him.
Title of the message this morning is simply a word. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But, don't you like that but? As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. In this passage of Scripture, we see that there is a word for the world, and that is, the light has come. There's also a word for us as Christians. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. One of the most famous illustrations the Word of God uses to show the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness, between good and evil, between truth and error, is the words light and darkness. The Gospel of John especially uses this picture and shows the contrast between light and darkness. In it, Christ's life is called the light of men, and his light is said to have shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the light three times there, who lighteth every man who comes into the world. Please understand today that Jesus didn't come in the world to just enlighten the elect. He came as the light to the whole world. In fact, Jesus calls himself the light of the world in John chapter 8 and verse 12 and in John chapter 9 and verse 5. Now, whenever the Bible uses any illustration, and particularly an illustration that is used so often, we had better expect it to say a lot more than that which is gleaned from just a casual glance. There are several things that we can learn about Jesus Christ through something that he has called himself, that is the light. So what are some things about light this morning? First of all, light overcomes darkness. Light overcomes darkness. Jesus is nothing less than the light of the world. He has come to overcome darkness. In our world and in our own personal lives, he has come to shed his light and cast out the darkness. It was plainly seen by thousands of people during the American influenza epidemic of the year 1918. During the height of that plague, I don't know if you realize this or not, but even churches were closed. All public gathering places were ordered to be closed. Yet more than ever, it was the need for people to have some kind of hope and consolation. Burdened by his inability to reach out to people in their time of need, one resourceful pastor thought of the magnificent stained glass windows that graced his church. These windows faced a major thoroughfare and were a large and commanding design. He had numerous floodlights placed inside the church. Illumination through the glass to the outside world gave passers-by the full effect of different stories that were painted on their glass. There for several to see were the matchless portrayals of Jesus. Jesus, the good shepherd, bearing a lamb on his bosom. Jesus, the searching Savior, going after and rescuing that one lost sheep while the other 99 were safely in the fold. There was Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. There was Jesus on the cross. There was Jesus triumphant in resurrection glory. All of these windows portrayed silent sermons. And the silent sermons of light and stained glass spoke an eloquent message. The Gospel of John puts it like this: the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. People would pass by that church and they would stop reverently and silently before the scene before them. They found themselves filled with new resolve and encouragement. They saw more than ever in that age of sickness the light of Christ's glory which had come into the world. I read an interesting story. I'm kind of a buff of the Civil War. I like to do reading on that, and came across this story and took place in the dark winter of the year 1864. At Petersburg, Virginia, the Confederate Army of Robert E. Lee faced the Union divisions of General Grant. The war was now 3 years old, and actually 3.5 years old, and you know, that glorious charge and the excitement of going to the first battle had long since given way to the muck and mud of trench warfare. But late one evening, one of Lee's generals, Major General George Pickett, received word that his wife had given birth to a beautiful baby boy. And so he ordered that fires be lit in honor of the occasion. Up and down the line, the Southerners began building huge bonfires to celebrate the event of the birth of this baby. Well, Grant became a little nervous about the burning fires, and so he sent out his own patrol to find out exactly what was going on. His scouts returned with the message that Pickett had had a son, and these were fires of celebration. So it happened that Grant and Pickett had been contemporaries at West Point and knew one another well, so Grant also ordered that bonfires would be built. What a peculiar night it was. For miles on both sides of the line burned these huge fires. No shots were fired that night. There was no yelling back and forth. No war was fought, only light. Only light could be seen celebrating the birth of a child. But the sad thing is, those lights and those fires did not last forever. Soon the fires burned down, and once again the darkness took over. The darkness of night and the darkness of war. But please understand that the good news of Christmas is that in the midst of a great darkness there came a light, and the darkness was not able to overcome the light. And that light is not just a temporary flicker. That light is an eternal flame. We need to remember that. There are times in the events of the world where it seems that darkness is going to overcome the light. There are times in our own personal life where everything seems to be getting dark, and we think that darkness will overcome the light. But the Christmas story affirms the fact that whatever happens, the light will still shine. Jesus is the light of the world, and his light will never, ever be extinguished. It'll never go out. Light overcomes darkness. Number two, light has power. Light has power, first of all, to give life. Does God have a word for the world? Yes, he does. God had a word for the world. It was his divine, eternal communication to the world embodied in a person, Jesus Christ. Jesus was God's word to the world. But you know, God spoke his word clearly, but not loudly. There were not many who witnessed the birth of Jesus. I was once again taken in by that fact in Sunday school this morning. You would think that with the birth of a king, there would have been many, many dignitaries and persons of royal positions there to welcome him into this world.
But Jesus was born quietly in a manger, witnessed by Joseph and Mary and a few shepherds and probably a few townspeople. The word was spoken in humility, but would profoundly affect the whole world. And my friend, if you are here today and you are waiting for the shout, you are waiting for something miraculous in your life before you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you might miss the whisper when Jesus calls you to come and receive Him as your Savior. He might be quietly speaking to your heart this morning. Please don't turn Him away. Don't turn a deaf ear to that quiet voice that is saying to you, come. Come to the light of the world today. I will give you life. But as many as received Him, that's all it took. Quietly receiving Him, to them He gives the power to become the children of God. He gives the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Light gives life. I want you to know today that if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible describes you as a dead person. You are walking around in darkness. But if you would receive Jesus Christ today, He will quicken you. He will make you alive. He will give you life. He will give you eternal life. And the darkness will be turned into light, the light of the Savior. Then light is a powerful provider. Light is energy. It's pure energy. Did you know that the greatest natural source of light is the sun? And Jesus called Himself the sun, the S-U-N of righteousness. And just as the sun's light is the physical source of our energy, Jesus Christ is the true source of our spiritual energy. Whatever we eat ultimately comes from the energy of the sun's light. Green plants, through photosynthesis, convert light energy into stored energy. And so when we eat plants, we are really eating and we are consuming energy that was once light. We cannot escape the power and energy of light, just as the power of Jesus Christ is the thing which holds all things together. The Word of God says it's by Him that all things consist. By Him all things are held together in place. And the power that gives us the ability to be what we spiritually can be comes from the source of light, the source of energy, Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today and like me, you're kind of run down a little bit, a little ragged. Jesus Christ is the one who gives energy and vitality to our lives. He's the one that provides the energy that you need. And if you just look to Him, He will demonstrate His power to provide for you. He is not only the one that provides life, but He is the one that provides all things that we need. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by the source of His energy, Jesus Christ. And then light is powerful in its speed. Light travels at approximately 186,282 miles per second. Nothing in our experience moves any faster. It is the universal absolute standard of speed. Einstein, in fact, postulated that everything, even time itself, is relative to only one existing constant, the speed of light. Jesus Christ is the absolute standard by which all things are measured. He never changes His character. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for one of His words to be annulled. Not one word that He has spoken can be annulled, changed, or altered. And even time itself is subject to Jesus Christ. He was alive before time, and He will be alive when the new heavens and the new earth are made. And when Jesus does something, nothing can stop Him. Nothing can slow Him down. Nothing can hinder Him from executing His plan. He is powerful. He provides life. He provides all things that we need. He provides whatever we need to execute His plan for our lives. Number three, light makes it possible to work. Light overcomes darkness. Light has power, and light makes it possible to work. In the context of Jesus' proclamation that He is the light of the world, comes this statement, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is yet day. Because the night will come, the night cometh when no man can work. Have you ever tried to work in the dark? Without light, it is virtually impossible to do any kind of work, isn't it? I don't care how skilled you are, there are some things that are more difficult when you try to do them without light. When you try to do them in darkness. Without Christ, our service to God is meaningless and vain. You know that there are people all across the world today that are trying to serve God, but they leave Jesus Christ out. I want you to know that you cannot do that. You cannot serve God without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Any work that you do is meaningless. It's empty and it's void. Works without Christ are as much vanity and worthlessness as trying to paint a picture in absolute darkness. One of my, Rebecca was going to do a chalk drawing for us the other night. And she got out this easel and she got out a piece of chalk. And it was dark in the room. She had a flashlight up there where John was flashing this flashlight on it, on the paper. And she could see what she was drawing, but none of us could see what she was drawing. So I said, Rebecca, I think that's a beautiful picture, but I would like it if we could turn on the lights so we could see what you are drawing. Jesus Christ turns on the lights so that life has meaning to us and we can see what life is all about. If you have not received Jesus as your Savior, you have no clue what life is all about. Life will take on meaning when you receive Him into your life. And you'll see what you are doing, and life will have meaning and life will have purpose. You can work what God has asked you to work without frustration, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. A man named Rudd told what it was like to live at the North Pole during 3 months of darkness. You never see the sun, he said. I ached and hungered to see the dawn. Then one morning in February, he climbed atop the windswept ridge and sat quietly facing east. The sky was just a gray sheet. Then it became a pale blue, which deepened. There was a silent rush of color, he said, as the sun rose. Rudd stood blinking with frozen tears on his cheeks because he longed so much to see the sun. Many hunger today for they know not what. They are searching for elusive dreams. There is a longing in their heart. There is a searching. They are not satisfied, but they don't know what they are hungering and aching for. I know what it is. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. They ache and hunger for the dawn. They ache and hunger for the sun to arise in their lives. And we have been called Christians out of darkness into this marvelous light, that we also could be the lights of the world, that we would reflect His light. Mission is a call to reflect and to testify that the light is already come into the world. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Missions is a call to that light that wants to illuminate every heart. All of us have a mission. Would you discover your mission for God and in the opportunities that you do have, especially around this time of the year, witness to the fact of Jesus Christ. Number four, light has a dual nature. Light has a dual nature. I found this very interesting in studying this because it's very difficult to explain or fully understand what light is. This is because light has a dual nature. For 300 years, there have been fierce arguments in the scientific community whether light is a particle or a wave. You may, well, that really doesn't mean much to me, but listen. Presently, scientific dogma says that it is both, even though scientists readily admit that this is impossible. They shrug their shoulders and call it a wave when it does what a wave is supposed to do, and they call it a particle when it does what a particle is expected to do. According to all the present evidence, light is not part particle and part wave, or a particle moving in a wave-like pattern, but it is all wave and all particle at the same time. Do you know where I'm going with this? Jesus Christ has a dual nature, doesn't he? He is fully God and he is fully human. He's not just part God and part man. He is fully God and fully human at the same time. And although we might not be able to explain it, that's exactly who he is. And any attempts to lessen Jesus Christ as anything but God would be very wrong for us to do. Jesus Christ is all God and all man. He proclaimed himself to be God over and over again in the scriptures, and yet we know that other scriptures tell us that he is all man. He was tired, he wept, he thirsted, he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And finally tonight, the purpose of light, number five, the purpose of light. Light is that which makes something manifest. Obviously, if there were not for light, nothing could be seen. Light shows things for what they really are. Light never lies. If there's a scratch in the paint, light will show it. If there's an imperfection in the diamond, light will manifest it. So what does light do? Three things here in closing this morning. Light manifests, first of all, sin for what it is. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men, get this, men loved darkness rather than light. Can you understand that? But because of their sin, they loved the darkness more than they loved the light. In fact, the Bible tells us the reason why. Because their deeds were evil. John chapter 3 and verse 19. One reason that the world doesn't love Jesus Christ is because he is the light. And he shows people that their sin is hopeless. Their sin is wicked. Their sin is unprofitable. People don't like to see that. The angel of light, the devil, tries to glorify sin, but it is a counterfeit light. The true light reveals the truth about sin. And we don't like that sometimes, but that's what Jesus does. If there is sin in our light, or in our life, he, as the light of the world, manifests. He makes that sin to be seen so that we can confess of it and get rid of it. Light manifests sin. Also, light manifests God for who he is. Jesus bore witness of the Father and himself. He manifested God and God's character to us. In fact, Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Jesus came here to manifest God, to reveal God to us. And then light, because it manifests, it dissolves our unfounded fears. You know, there is nothing more terrifying than not knowing what is scaring you. Have you ever heard a noise in the middle of the night and your heart just jumped? And you were scared. You knew that there was somebody in the house. You were frightened because you didn't know what it was. We are more scared when we don't know what it is we are to be afraid of. Being in the dark is the worst. If you see something fearful, at least you know how to deal with it. But when you are in darkness, that is fear. That is real fear. I want you to understand today that Jesus Christ scatters all of our illegitimate fears with his glorious light. You see, there are simply things that we are afraid of that we need not fear. And Jesus, as the light of the world, shines on those fears. And he shows us what those things really are so that we don't have to be afraid of them. So we don't have to fear them. He tells us that we don't really need to fear anything if we do one thing. If we fear one thing, we don't need to fear anything else. If we fear God, if we have a healthy fear of God, we don't need to fear anything else. But if we have that mastered and we fear very little else, then the Bible promises that we will have a joyous life, a life filled with joy. No wonder we can say, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." He casts out our fears and he enters in. May Christ be born in your heart today, if he has not been already. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? Jesus is the light of the world. As the light of the world, he overcomes darkness. He has power. Power to give you life. Life eternal. Power to provide for your needs.
Light makes it possible for you to work. Included in that is the call to missions. Light has a dual nature. Jesus Christ is all God. He is all man. Don't trip over this point. Many think that Jesus was just a great historical figure. He was a great teacher, but he was not God. Jesus is who he claimed to be. You need to receive him as God and Savior. And the purpose of the light is to manifest sin for what it really is, sin. The light will manifest God for who he is. And the light will manifest, and by manifesting, it will dissolve our unfounded fears. Is there something here that you're afraid of this morning? You need to ask the Lord to shine the light on it so you can see that thing for what it really is. Something that you do not need to fear. We really need to fear very little if we fear the Lord. First of all, I'd like to ask, is there anybody here today? You've not asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. He would love to be born in your heart today. And I can't think of a better time than the Christmas season to let that happen. Would you, by a raised hand, would you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to receive Jesus today. I want to receive life. And I want to walk in light. I want my life to have new meaning and purpose. I'm just walking in darkness. But I need the light of the world and the life of men. I need Jesus. Anybody here? Would you raise your hand up and then down? Pastor, pray for me. I want to receive Jesus. I want Christ to be born in my heart today. Anybody here with some fears and concerns? Maybe for you this Christmas, the words that ring over and over again in the Christmas story are the words, fear not. Fear not. Why don't you fear? Don't fear, because Jesus has come. The light of the world has come. And he will shine a light on those things that we fear and find out that many of our fears are unfounded. Any fears? If you have any fears today, would you just raise your hand, confess those to the Lord. Lord, I have these fears, but I pray that you would make yourself shine upon me. Amen. Shine your light on those fears. Help me to see them the way you see them in your pure light. Lord, we thank you for the light. And we thank you for the word. The word for the world is that the light has come. And the word for us is the light has come and continues to dwell among us. What a privilege to behold your glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I pray for your grace and for your truth to be carried out in our lives every single day. We would walk in the fear of the Lord and not fear those things that have no merit. Lord, for we realize that greater are you that is in us than he that is in the world. So thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. This is kind of a different Christmas song, but if you would think of it in light of the message this morning, I think it could be of some benefit to you. Shine, Jesus, shine. Let's stand as we sing that.
Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land. Thank you.
Amen. I pray that you continue to walk in light. And even as the new year approaches, the Lord will cause you to walk always in the light and not in darkness. You know, if you stay on the path, on the straight and narrow, you don't turn to the right hand or to the left, his word will be a lamp under your feet and to a light under your path. But Bob, would you dismiss us in prayer? And then a Merry Christmas to you all. God bless.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the scriptures that we've heard, those that we've studied in class, those that we have heard you this morning, which seem to be about this. Be with us, God, as you direct us. Help us to aim for another year to be saturated with your love.
Yes.
Help us to be what you'd have us to be.
Yes.
Help us to minister. Help us to be a blessing to those among us.
Yes.
We ask you to bless the Christmas spirit that people have, no matter how they worship their Lord, no matter how they see Christmas. May they find Christ this day.
Yes.
This bless us. And again, I say thanks and blessings in Jesus' name.